Thursday, 10:45. Philip. Haven't seen him for a month. It's been bliss. God, can I face him? How strong am I feeling? Come on, Martha. Buck up. You can do it. All you have to do is nod occasionally and try and steer him towards some sort of objective reality. I mean, it's pretty straightforward, really, if we were talking about someone else entirely and not Philip.
I have so much news, and all of it fabulous. I hardly know where to start.
Well, that's good to hear, Philip.
But first things first, what do you think of my face?
I'm sorry?
My face. What do you think?
Well, I...
You're seriously telling me you haven't noticed anything? I've had it tweaked. Look, here, round the jawline, and just a tiny bit more of a brow lift. I mean, it's very subtle, but it's not supposed to be so subtle no one notices. What would be the point of that, for God's sake?
Well, obviously, now you come to mention it.
Personally, I think what it gives me is a hint of distinction, don't you? I feel I've got a bit of a Hugh Grant, George Clooney thing going on. But obviously not the way they look now, more the way they used to look in their prime. I mean, let's face it, they're great-looking men. I'm not knocking them. God, no. But they don't look 35, do they? And I think with these tiny new nips and tucks, Well, I won't say I look 35, but I think I could get away with 42, no problem. I had to raid my mother's pension fund to pay for it all. But as I told her, in my line of work, you have to speculate to accumulate. I'll never get back into primetime TV looking like W.H. Auden, will I?
I had no idea you were trying to get back into primetime TV, Philip.
Well, obviously, I'm not desperate or anything. God, desperation's a pitiful thing, isn't it? Look, I already have a job that most people would give their eye teeth for in the kitchen demo department, as you know. But my motto has always been, be prepared. Who knows when glory might be thrust upon me? Next week, a well-known casting director might be shopping for a collapsible trivet set when she suddenly sees me demonstrating a dim sum steamer. Next thing you know, she's on the phone to a director, saying, I've found him, I've found him. Hugh may not be available, and George is sadly busy with the twins, but I've discovered someone who looks a bit like both of them, only somehow better and younger. And watching him demonstrate that steamer, seeing him connect with the public, I also realise he's a great, great actor. The film can go ahead. Our bacon has been saved. I mean, obviously, I'm not suggesting it'll happen exactly like that. But, you know, something along those lines. I told Mohammed he could be my dresser and hold my drinks on set, that sort of thing. And, you know, for the first time, I realised he can be a little bit quick to take offence. There are some things he has absolutely no sense of humour about. Anyway, it's all water under the bridge. I said, OK, Mohammed, what about being my manager for a 10% cut of everything I earn? And he said, yeah, OK, whatever. Not sounding quite as grateful as I would have liked, but, you know, it takes all sorts. He's a little bit undemonstrative. He can't help it. It's childhood trauma, probably. Anyway, I quickly changed the subject by saying, hey, have you seen these new chopping boards? I've sold 15 of them since lunchtime. What's going on? What they are, OK, are chopping boards made out of bright red silicone or something, so they look like a huge pool of blood that kind of drips over the edge of the worktop.
Oh.
Anyway, Mohammed thawed a bit at that, and we both laughed uproariously and agreed that there's no accounting for folk. Honestly, there's never a dull moment in kitchen gadgets. I was juggling with wax fruit the other day. I drew quite a crowd. Mohammed started playing the spoons. And off the back of that, we sold 6 meat thermometers and a microwave that can hold a conversation. Of sorts. I mean, it doesn't do philosophy or anything, more's the pity. But it can tell you your chop's done. In a rather attractive voice, I have to say. It's great for lonely people. Or the recently bereaved. You know, house feels a bit empty, you're longing to hear another human voice. Heat up a fish pie and, hey presto, something to chat to. I mean, they don't sell it like that, obviously.
Good.
God, no. You can't ask a customer if they've recently lost a loved one. It's against store guidelines, I should think. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yes, my news. All the fabulous things that have been happening to me, as well as looking 15 years younger. So, the big news is, I've ditched my medication. All of it.
Right. Did you take medical advice before you did this, Philip?
Do you know, sometimes you sound exactly like my mother. Or worse, Rose. No, I didn't take medical advice. I didn't need to. I simply listened to my own body. And I felt, in my heart, it was urging me to renounce the devil. Sorry. No, I don't mean that literally. I mean, it was telling me to refuse to ingest any more chemicals. Because, I don't mean to boast, but I'd just made a rather remarkable discovery off my own bat. I'm astonished no one else has come up with it. Anyway, suffice to say, I am now medication-free. I'm following an alternative course of treatment, and I feel 300% better for it.
I see. Well, that's... What is this alternative treatment?
Alcohol.
I'm sorry?
Alcohol. You know, G&T, Benedictine, Tia Maria, Dubonnet, Pimm's. The list is endless, I mean, obviously. It's not as if I'd lived a sheltered life. God, no. We had some wild times on Good Morning East Anglia, let me tell you. I once drank half a lager while we were live on air. It's hard to believe, I know. It was a man from some local microbrewery or something. I forget now. But, you know, crazy times. So, anyway, I've had the odd glass or two in my time. My mother brings me in a sherry every now and then. But I suppose I've never been very interested in it, and I've never really understood the attraction. But now, suddenly, I realise it's the answer to all my problems.
Philip, stop! Stop! I can safely tell you, hand on heart, that alcohol is never the solution to anyone's problems.
No, seriously. I'm thinking of writing a book about this. If only I had the time. That's always the problem, isn't it? You know, what with kitchen demonstrating and now oil painting.
Oil painting?
Well, not just oils. Watercolours, gouache, collage, you name it. But I'll come back to that later. The thing is, what I discovered is that a nip of this and a swig of that, starting first thing in the morning and ending just before bed, has a remarkable effect on my feelings of well-being, my confidence, my problem-solving abilities, all the things my medication's supposed to do, but is a bit hit and miss, frankly. With alcohol, I've discovered, your worries just... Well, they don't seem so important, I suppose. Often you forget about them completely, actually. And don't say, oh, with alcohol you can't drive a car, because I wasn't allowed to drive or operate machinery on my drug regime either, so frankly, there's no difference.
Hang on, Philip. Are you telling me that instead of taking your prescribed drugs, you're now self-medicating with alcohol?
Exactly. I couldn't have put it better myself. Self-medicating. Great phrase. I'm going to have to steal that. I mean, one of the great things about alcohol is the sheer variety on offer. You're not just downing a handful of boring old pills with a glass of water. No way, Jose. Alcohol comes in a huge variety of flavours and, indeed, strengths. I find the trick is to take it more or less continuously throughout the day, starting around 8 a.m. And seriously, it does you a power of good. Yes, sirree! I've never felt better in my life. I always thought a drink was something you had at the end of the day, to be sociable, or maybe you had a glass of wine with your supper. But what I've discovered is that sort of drinking simply won't do the trick at all. What you need is little and often. And the great thing is, you never get bored. Not if you have access to a drinks trolley like the one belonging to my mother. She brought it with her when she moved in, and honestly, you wouldn't believe some of the things she's got on it. This morning, for my breakfast, I had a bowl of cornflakes, a boiled egg, and a glass of punte meth.
You've already had a drink today?
Absolutely. Nothing like a sharpener to set you up for the day. It's got quinine in it, apparently.
What has?
Punte meth. And, of course, quinine's extremely good for you, especially if you have malaria. Which, obviously, I haven't. But, you know, what with climate change and everything, it may only be a matter of time. Anyway, I had a shot of schnapps just before I got here. And my next dose, pastis, my stirrup cup, if you like, is due at 11:30. And then I'll have my stiffener around 1 o'clock.
And what's that going to be?
Green chartreuse.
Oh.
I haven't tried it yet, but I've got it in my bag in a little medicine bottle ready to knock back. The great thing is, if I really don't like it, I just cross it off the list. I couldn't get on with kümmel, for example. No idea why. Although sometimes I find a shot of something disgusting can give you a bit of a boost. You know, you grit your teeth, you retch a bit, but you shake yourself down and think, hey, I did it. I swallowed it. There's a sense of achievement, you know? High fives all round. It's like a shot in the arm, except in drink form.
Philip, I have to ask you, well, lots of things, frankly, but what does your mother think of this new regime?
Well, she's not keen, but what does she know? She's ancient, bless her, and a bit set in her ways. To people of her generation, doctors are second to God, aren't they? Whereas to people like me, freethinkers, outliers, people who challenge the system, it's more like, hey, not so fast, doctor. What makes you think you're the expert here?
Well, 6 years minimum of medical training for openers, which is 6 years more than you've got, Philip.
Ah, but as I've got older and wiser, I've come to realise that gut feelings are more important than mere facts and so-called expertise.
Are you quite sure about that, Philip?
Absolutely.
So?
No, don't argue with me. Anyway, my mother begged me not to stop the medication, so I sat her down and explained, extremely patiently, that all I was doing was taking charge of my own body, my own destiny. I was curing myself in my own unique way. And eventually she just got up and threw herself face down on the sofa. No mean feat for a woman of her age, let me tell you. And said, fine, go ahead. I suppose someone's got to drink all those liqueurs. God knows I'll never get round to it. Then later I heard her on the phone to the doctor. But she started whispering, so I don't know what she said. Now she's being very bright and smiley in a sort of crispy, brittle way, so I suspect she's up to something.
You suspect she's up to something?
Well, I wouldn't put it past her. She's always in cahoots now with Desmond upstairs. You know, the one with the bidet that came through the ceiling.
I'm interested, Philip, in what you said a moment ago, that you privilege feelings over mere facts.
Well, I'm not sure I actually said it like that, but as you know, I'm a bit of a philosopher. I'm a deep and complex thinker. But essentially, I'm all about feelings, more than whatever the other thing was you mentioned.
Facts.
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, people say global warming's a fact, but who's to say that's actually true?
The entire scientific community? But I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week, Philip.
Phew. Saved by the bell, eh? But I'll just say, they could be completely wrong, couldn't they?
Who?
Scientists. I mean, face it, they all have an agenda. I think that much is obvious.
But what is that agenda?
Look, I haven't got time to go into it now. It's fiendishly complicated, as David Davis might say. God, I love his beaming smile, don't you? So nice to see in a world where people take things way too seriously, I find. Anyway, suffice to say, I've read a lot about climate change, and I'm beginning to smell a rat. Oh, good Lord, is that the time? I'd better go. But I think I'll just take my medication now. It's quite tricky to do it on the tube. People give you odd looks. Oh, yes. Now, that's delicious. Pasties. Well, certainly put a spring in my step. Anyway, see you next week.
Yes, Philip, I'll see you next Thursday.
You know, I think I'm going to tap dance all the way to the tube.
Bye, Philip.
Bye.
I wonder if I should call social services.